So if you're just tuning in wondering what we're up to, I'm speaking with Newfoundland singers, folklorist, archivist, radio host, and member of the Order of Canada, Anita Best, from somewhere on the road to her next gig, where she is currently touring in New England. And we're working our way through her new album with her good friend and super sideman, Sandy Morris. And it's titled Some Songs, and we're going to go back now and continue this conversation.
Just before we made the land at Buckaloo.
Before I forget, I just want to thank you ever so much for having this discussion you and I had about podcasting. I'll mention that just briefly because it may well be that by the time this Ron's podcast of Sounds Atlantic gets up and on the go, our discussion today could be one of the first podcasts. I'm hoping. But had we not had that discussion, I don't think I would have been moving ahead as quickly as I am at the moment. So I'm hoping that by the time we're all done, said and done, we'll be podcasting this as well, in addition to its being broadcast on Valley Heritage Radio.
Well, that's fantastic because, podcast is accessible to just about everybody, even people who don't pick up Valley Heritage Radio. And being the wonderful station that it is, and we're so glad it exists so we can get to make contact with you, especially at BOBB, which is another little station that I volunteer with over in the Bombay area. And we're so happy to be able to play Sounds Atlantic on that radio station. We have a lot of listeners who look forward to it every week.
Bless your heart is all I can say. You've been an inspiration. Oh, there's so many more things we want to do here. I would like to carry on then with Ferlin.
One of the things that I'll just mention, I'm sure you can edit out this garbly stuff in between, but one of the reasons that we did this album was to feature some of the lesser-known songwriters or song makers in Newfoundland. In lots of places, the songwriter's name is well-known, but many Newfoundlanders didn't know, for example, that Peter Leonard had written The Gay Gunners, or that Mark Walker had written Tickle Cove Pond, or Pat Troy had written The Moonshine Can. But we sort of wanted to feature, those lesser-known songwriters of Newfoundland. Ron is very well-known to everybody these days, but some of the older songwriters were not so well-known, and it was nice to be able to attach their names to the songs that they made. And there are so many kind of, I hesitate to say ordinary, but like people are always making songs in Newfoundland, and so many of them, pass into the oral tradition and they fade away, and nobody remembers them nowadays, but they were very popular in their time. They're so good that people want to write them down and keep them in scribblers or publish them in little collections of songs, and like Gerald S. Doyle did with, his song collection. And Gerald S. Doyle was born in King's Cove as well, and he was, that's one of the reasons why Pat Murphy's Meadow and Badger Drive and so on are so well known, is that they were published in Gerald S. Doyle's songbooks and distributed free of charge to everybody in Newfoundland. Every family had one, probably. And they were filled with advertisements for the products that Gerald S. Doyle was selling, his pharmaceutical products. And Gerald S. Doyle himself was a terrific song. He had a terrific interest in songs that were made in Newfoundland. And as he went around the province, as part of his business activities, he also collected a bunch of songs. So we owe a lot to, that kind of whole mercantile enterprise, the Gerald S. Doyle and the J.M. Devines and all those guys.
We used to, at one time I was a member of the Atlantic Voices Choir in Ottawa, and we used to sing a lot of those songs that came out of Gerald S. Doyle's songbook. We mentioned Peter Leonard. I'd like to have you talk to a couple of those songs that you referenced, Ferlin Dunphy and the Gay Gunners. Where was Peter from?
Peter was from Placentia Bay, and he lived in various places, Isle of Allen, and I think he even lived in Clouds Harbour, St. Leonard's at one time, you know, all places that are clustered close together in Placentia Bay. And he didn't go to school. He wasn't a literate man, but he wrote some of the funniest and most wonderful songs, The Soup Supper in Clouds Harbour, Jim Harris, you know, that everybody likes to sing, Matthew Byrne and Joe Byrne and Pat Byrne and them sing Jim Harris. He made that song. He made The Gay Gunners and Ferland Dunphy. But his and The Yankee Skipper, which was recorded by Siggy Duff some years ago. But his songs were always kind of satirical in a way. They were making fun of some event that happened in the community, and they were basically in jokes. You know, the people who lived in the community and surrounding communities would get the point of them, but people who lived outside of Placentia Bay and didn't know the people he was talking about would probably not totally get the song. You know what I mean? It was meant to sort of poke fun at his neighbors and his friends. You know, the songs that he would make. And they were immediately picked up by local singers, and that's how they made their way into the Gerald S. Dawes songbook. So many local singers wanted to sing a new song for Gerald S. Dawes when they found he was looking for songs. And singers always love to sing a song that nobody has heard yet, you know?
I should mention that Helen Creighton did something along those lines. The equivalent lines, as it were, in Nova Scotia. She was a fantastic collector of songs from all over Nova Scotia. In fact, it's the Helen Creighton Award is named after her for work that she did. But thank heavens for people like Gerald S. Doyle and Helen Creighton for weaving into to our cultural fabric so many of these wonderful creations that come from little towns all over Atlantic Canada.
Yes, indeed, creations, you know, that are made by people who are, you know, living their lives and making their living in other ways, but found time yet to be creative, to do a bit of creative writing and entertain their neighbors with songs and tunes and stuff like that. That's great.
And we'll sample two of those with Ferland Dunphy and the Gay Gunners, and they're done. They're written by Peter Leonard and performed by Anita Best and Sandy Morris. Here they are.
Come all ye Newfoundlanders, and I'll sing for ye a song all about a young man, and here he do belong. I sing fal-la-dal-la-di-do, right fal-la-dee. He came from Derby's harbour, he was very fond of sport, fell in love with a damsel, belonged to Pretty Ford. I sing fal-la-dal-la-di-do, right fal-la-dee. He courted her all summer now, as you may understand, and hinds he walked over for to see this young man. I sing fal-la-dal-la-di-do, right fal-la-dee. Says hinds unto Ferlin, now me boy, you needn't fret, if you marries Philomena, it is a house you'll surely get. I sing fal-la-dal-la-di-do, right fal-la-dee. The old man Lake was listening, and he hung down his head. He swore by his Redeemer, 'twould be better if you were dead. I sing fal-la-dal-la-di-do, fal-la-dal-la-di-do, right fal-la-dee. The wind blew from the eastern, and it blew a half a gale. But Ferlin he got ready, and he put aboard his sail. I sing fal-la-dal-la-di-do, right fal-la-dee. He sailed her up to Pity Ford and landed on the shore. You're welcome, Mr. Dunphy, but your bed is on the floor. I sing fal-la-dal-la-di-do, right fal-la-dee. He stayed with her till 3 o'clock, and they had a splendid time. He runned her back in Paradise Sound to keep me song in rhyme. I sing fal-la-dal-la-di-do, fal-da-dal-da-di-do-ray-fal-da-dee. Straight up to Dunphy's now, and they were glad to hear all about the girl and the time that he had there. Rising fal-da-dal-da-di-do-ray-fal-da-dee. The women, they were listening, and nothing much they said, but they're thinking on those berry hills all night while they're in bed. I sing fal-da-dal-da-di-do, fal-da-dal-da-di-do, right fal-da-dee. Early in the morning, now the fog is very thick. If we had got a pilot, what berries would we pick? I sing fal-da-dal-da-di-do, right fal-da-dee. O'Ferlin, he got ready, he had plucked enough to go, but when they got him on the hills, they proved his overthrow. I sing fal-da-dal-da-di-do, 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 right fal-da-dee. So Ferlin, he'll be married now, no more he'll have to roam. He'll live in Derby's Harbour, that's the place he calls his home. I sing fal-da-dal-da-di-do, 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 right fal-da-dee. Come all ye gay gunners, come listen to me. A short, simple ditty, I'll sing it for ye. A short, simple ditty that's lately in print, concerning two heroes outgunning they went. They left their home early in the morning, not thinking on going astray. We'll have a fine day, to each other they said. They took little water and scarce any bread, for they left in a hurry that morning, not thinking on going astray. The fog it lay low, and the morning was calm. They put out their oars, paddled out through the arm. The birds they were scattered, scarce one had they found, when the first thing they knew they were out of all sound. After leaving their home in the morning, not thinking on going astray. Well, the fog it lay low, but was clear overhead, and the first land they sighted was Mersham Head. After leaving their home in the morning, not thinking on going astray. When 4 o'clock come, well, they shipped her for home, and the first land they met was to them being unknown. They put out their oars, and they made no more stops, when the next land they sighted was Butter Cove Rock. After leaving their home in the morning, not thinking on going astray. Up around Eastern Head, well, they pulled with their might. They're both getting hungry, it's drawing on night. I suppose we'll get home in the morning, right well they will know we're astray. They went to Bona, and they hauled up their punt. Down over the neck was a strange way to hunt. After leaving home early in the morning, not thinking on going astray. Oh, but those two young fellas, they done it all right. They arrived at St. Kieran's, 'twas just at lamplight. After leaving their home in the morning, not thinking on going astray. Come all you gay gunners, take a warning by me. When you're going out gun, you're not going on a spree. Be sure to take water and plenty of prog. Stay away from the headlands, beware of the fog. Don't leave your home early in the morning, for you might get tricked and go stray.
You're listening to Sounds Atlantic with Ron Moores. I'm Matthew Byrne, a traditional singer and guitarist from St. John's, Newfoundland. I'm a solo performer, and I'm also lead singer and bazooki player with the Dardanelles. If you're a fan of great folk and traditional music, you'll find it here, where Ron is dusting off old gems as well as showcasing what's new and exciting in East Coast folk.
What lies in store for you? Take my advice and do think twice ere you join the Calpine's crew.
All right, everyone, we're working our way through Anita Best and Sandy Morris's new album, Some Songs, and that was The Gay Gunners, backed by Ferland Dunphy, written by Peter Leonard. And I'd like to go back to a couple of French compositions here, traditional. I presume they I'm not sure if they come from the West Coast. You'll tell us, I guess. Sur la route de Dijon, on the road to Dijon, and dans les prisons de Londres, in the London prisons, if you'd speak to us about those two songs.
They're versions of songs that are well known everywhere that people speak French, and I happen to pick up these versions from the West Coast, but they're widely sung all over Quebec and Saint-Pierre and France, everywhere. And I just always love to do songs in French. Nothing more to say about them. They're just fantastic songs, and I really like doing them. And Sandy loves playing them, you know. On the La Route de Dijon, he decided if he wasn't going to play the guitar, he was going to use the guitar as a percussive instrument. And so he just sort of beats, does a beat with the guitar when we're doing it live. And then, of course, Billy Sutton and Jason Whelan did their thing with it as well. And I just I want to mention some of the people who were on the album with me. Aaron Collis, of course, put in some lovely pieces in several of the songs. Aaron Collis was a fantastic young accordion player from Glenwood in central Newfoundland.
Yeah, and he plays with Rum Ragged, and he plays with Tom Power's band.
That's right, the Dardanelles. And he did some work on the Vive La Rose and those.
Oh,
Angela Pickett, who now lives in New York. She's the daughter of a wonderful accordion player, Stan Pickett, who, is a secession player in St. John's. They came from Bonavista Bay. Angela came in and did some great work on...
I'm glad you mentioned that.
Viola with that. Yeah. So there were... And I had, of course, some, singers who joined me. Aaron Best joined me on a couple of the French songs. Yeah,
so Anita, I have to say that I have to do a shout out for about Stan Pickett, because I have a soft spot in my heart for Stan, because every time I would visit St. John's in the summer, I would wind up going to what was Anti-Craze, it's now the Rocket, but the Anti-Craze band, as it were, would be playing from noon to 1:30 in the afternoon, and the place would be blocked. You wouldn't be able to get near it. And it was so much fun, and he was ever so kind, because he would ask me to sing a song when I'd show up, and what a thrill it was. Stan's a brilliant accordion player.
Yeah, terrific, and he himself is a good player. But his daughter went to school at Juilliard.
Yes, she did.
And she's friends with all of these young musicians now that I'm so happy to say are carrying on the tradition. Yeah. Myself and Sandy are oldsters now, and we'll soon be out of the racket altogether. But these new people coming along are strong musicians, and it's great to be able to know that there's people coming up behind us.
It is so. Here are Sur la Route de Dijon, and we'll back it with Dans les Prisons de Londres. They're both traditional songs. Here we go.
Sur la route de Dijon, ma belle digue-dig, ma belle digue-don. Sur la route de Dijon, ma belle digue-dig, ma belle digue-don. Il y avait une fontaine, digue-don, digue-don, d'aine. Il y avait une fontaine aux oiseaux, près d'elle une jolie tendron, la belle digue-dig, la belle digue-don. Près d'elle une jolie tendron, la belle digue-dig, la belle digue-don. Pleurer comme une madeleine, digue-don, digue-don d'aine. Pleurer comme une madeleine aux oiseaux, aux oiseaux. Par la passe à bataillon, la belle digue-dig, la belle digue-don. Par la passe à bataillon.
belle dingue dingue, la belle dingue dong, qui chantait à perdre haleine, dingue dong dingue dong belle, qui chantait à perdre haleine. Oh les oiseaux, oh les oiseaux, comment nomme t on ma belle dingue dingue, ma belle dingue dong, comment nomme t on ma belle dingue dingue, ma belle dingue dong. On mène à ma Marjolaine, dingue dong, dingue dong, belle. On mène à ma Marjolaine, aux oiseaux, aux oiseaux. Marjolaine, qu'avez-vous donc, ma belle, dingue dingue, ma belle, dingue dong. Marjolaine, qu'avez-vous donc, ma belle, dingue dingue, ma belle, dingue dong. Ah, messieurs, j'ai tant de peine, dingue dong, dingue dong, belle. Ah, messieurs, j'ai tant de peine, aux oiseaux, aux oiseaux. Paraît que tout le bataillon, la belle digue digue, la belle digue don. Paraît que tout le bataillon, la belle digue digue, la belle digue don. Consola la Marjolaine, digue don, digue don, belle. Consola la Marjolaine. À Dijon, ma belle digue digue, ma belle digue don. Si vous passez à Dijon, ma belle digue digue, ma belle digue don. Allez voir la fontaine, digue don, digue don, belle. Allez voir la fontaine, aux oiseaux, aux
dans les prisons de Londres, dam di di la da, dam di dam di la. Dans les prisons de Londres, y avait un prisonnier, y avait un prisonnier. Bon, personne ne le voit, dam di di la da, dam di dam di la. Bon, personne ne le voit, que la fille du geôlier, que la fille du geôlier. Il portait des chemises, ram di li la da, tam di ram di li la. Il portait des chemises, chemises repassées, chemises repassées. Dites-moi ma belle, ram di li la da, tam di ram di li la. Ah, dites-moi ma belle, mais que dit-on de moi, mais que dit-on de moi? Le bruit court dans la ville, ram di li la da, tam di ram di. Le bruit court dans la ville, que demain vous mourrez, que demain vous mourrez. Ah, si demain je meurs, dam di li la da, dam di dam di li la. Si demain je meurs, déliez-moi les pieds, déliez-moi les pieds. Quand il a les pieds libres, dam di li la da, dam di li la. Quand il a les pieds libres, à la mer s'est jeté, à la mer s'est jeté. Si jamais je retourne, dam di li la da, dam di dam di li la. Si jamais je retourne, mais je t'épouserai, mais je t'épouserai. Ta robe de mariage, dam di li la da, dam di dam di li la. Ta robe de mariage, bouton d'or j'y mettrai, bouton d'or j'y mettrai.
All right, everyone, that's dans les prisons de Londres, in the London prisons. We backed it with On the Road to Dijon, sur la route de Dijon. And we'll carry on with Pedrina. Tell us about Pedrina.
Well, that's from my days of hanging around down the harbor with the Portuguese fishermen from the White Fleet.
Oh, so.
And a bunch of us, we were all teenagers at the time, would like to go aboard the boats and listen to their music and, have maybe some of the food, and they were very, very kind to us, and they always invited us on board. We used to have fun down there. Portuguese have been connected to Newfoundland for hundreds of years, of course, coming to the Grand Banks to fish, and the White Fleet was a sight. They would come into St. John's toward the end of the summer after having fished all summer, and they'd spend a few days and maybe a week or so in port and pick up some stuff to bring back home in those days. And you'd see them playing football up in Bannerman Park, and we lived in the east end of St. John's. And it was great fun. At that time, there were no restrictions on the harbour like there are now. You could just go down, and if you wanted to, and if the people on the boat invited you, you could go aboard the boat. And we'd go down there in gangs of teenagers and young people and go aboard. And the music was always fascinating to us.
Would you have run into Art Stoyles when you were on the boats?
Well, I ran into Art Stoyles because his sister and I were in the same class in school.
Holy cow. Holy mackerel.
And so Art used to play in Bannerman Park, and Bannerman Park was our neighborhood park.
Right.
And so, and that's where Art would have heard, the wonderful Portuguese waltzes that he put together.
Yeah.
He would have heard the Portuguese. And if you've ever been in the Basilica in St. John's, there's a beautiful display of the children of Fatima, in statue form there, that was paraded through the streets of St. John's. I think it was in the late 1950s or early 60s by the Portuguese fishermen and placed in the Basilica there.
Wow.
There's some photographs that you can find, some black and white photographs from some of the newspaper articles of the time. And it was quite an amazing parade through the streets of St. John's with these Portuguese fishermen carrying the statue.
I had no idea.
The statue is so beautiful. And also the story of the children of Fatima is so interesting with the miracles that the story is all about there.
I dare say that for the first dozen or so years I would attend the Newfoundland Labrador Folk Festival, Art was a fixture there. And so I got to know him a bit, and eventually I interviewed him for the show, and it was great fun. He was a challenge to follow, I have to say. But when he passed away, I did a tribute with Neil Rosenberg's wife, who played in Art's band.
Yes, Terry Thompson.
Terry, and. It was quite lovely. I was so impressed by his accordion playing. I mean, he was just a brilliant accordion player.
Yeah, he was one of the accordion players that played with Figgy Duff over the years,
Right, I forgot that.
And that was my connection with him through Figgy Duff as well. But I'd known about, Art had been on the scene from the time I first moved to St. John's, because we lived quite close to where they lived. Yeah.
Here's Padrina, everyone.
Bem certo de forest, o meu bem certo de forest, como dizem que te vais, como dizem que te vais. E já meu teu nome escrito, e já meu teu nome escrito, numa pedrinha no cais, numa pedrinha no cais. Thank you. quando meu amor se foi. Se te lançai, chora, cai. Se te lançai, chora, cai. Mai la mancada camisa, mai la mancada camisa, e dizem que não chorar, dizem que não.
You're listening to Ron Moore, Sounds Atlantic. I'm Wayne Chalk from Newfoundland, a singer-songwriter with Buddy Wass's name in the Elephilus. I would strongly suggest that you join Ron on a regular basis and experience the best in traditional and current musical offerings from Atlantic Canada. I mean, Ron has got to be good, right? He's got Newfoundland blood.
And to hear poor Uncle John mumbling wishes to O'Neill, it made me feel like everything was fine.
That's Pedrina. Am I pronouncing that right?
Well, I'm not really sure. I just say, you know, my Portuguese is pretty phonetic. I don't really speak the language, but that's Pedrina is how I say it.
Okay, I didn't see an accent.
It means little stone, little pebble.
Oh, so. Yeah. So, okay, there we go. All right. Well,
that's it's basically a love song about a girl whose lover is going away, and she's you know, writing his name in pebbles on the beach, and she's crying, and she wets 7 handkerchiefs and the sleeves of her shirt with tears. You know, it's one of these sad little folk songs, but it's beautiful. The melody is lovely, and Sandy does a great job with it on the guitar.
William Wilson wrote a song called The August Gale. Would you speak to us about that?
Yes, Mr. Bill Wilson came from Mearsheen, my hometown.
Oh, my goodness.
And he's definitely one of the unsung songwriters of Newfoundland. The August Gale talks about a gale that took place, I think, in... I'm not sure of the date. I'll say 1925, but anyone listening to me who is a historian will probably take issue with that. But anyway, it mentions by name some of the vessels and the people who were lost at that time. And it was a song that the people of Placentia Bay loved to sing, people of Mearsheen loved to sing. Bill Wilson was married to Kate Murray from Fox Harbour. And Kate was Mrs. Kate of, I don't know if you've ever looked at my album called Cross-Handed.
Yes,
but,
we played
her picture
it here.
Is there, and I learned a number of songs from her. She was the midwife in Mearsheen when I lived there, and my daughter is called after her. She was a very important person in my life. So Mr. Bill was her husband.
Oh.
And... yeah, so the Wilsons were a big family in Mearsheen, and he wrote this song about that gale that took place in 1925, and it's one of those powerful types of songs that you know, it's very, very local, mentioning local people and so on, and it means an awful lot to the people, the descendants of those people, and the people who, you know, knew those fellas and knew the boats and so forth. It brings back that kind of thing. It's a song, something like Atlantic Blue in a way, except, you know, because it has that emotional content for many people who remember the incident, you know.
Here's the August Gale.
On the 25th of August, the gale began to rise, which left so many orphans and took so many lives.
left there to stay for their last day, their friends to see no more. For the ocean wave, it rolled that day like it never rolled before. The wind, it blew a fearful force, and no let up that day. The boats were anchored on the grounds around Placentia Bay. When empty boats turned bottom up, and not a soul was saved, some 40 fishermen or more all met a watery grave. John followed in his little boat, about 10 tons or more, was anchored on the fishing grounds, about 12 miles from the shore. But when the gale began to rise, he ran for the nearest port. But a heavy sea rolled down on them and capsized their little boat. John Follett and one of his sons clung to the wreck that day. For 8 long hours they drifted, exposed to wind and sea. God spared the lives of those poor boys to tell a dreadful tale. But his eldest son got drowned in that cruel August gale. Danny Cheeseman from Rashoon also went down that day. His boat was met with her 2 spars gone, about halfway in the bay. To think on what they suffered, a stone would heave a sigh. There were 3 men clinging to the wreck when Jim Harris passed her by. He tried his best to save them, but his foresoul did give way. And with aching hearts they were forced to part and run before wind and sea. He done his whole endeavor, 'twas all that he could do. May the Lord have mercy on the souls of Dan Cheeseman and his crew. Another schooner, branded new, built up in Mortier Bay, commanded by John Loughlin from Red Harbor, sailed away. As he was anchored on Cape Ground to the westward of the light, he had a dory gone astray that dark and stormy night. The Annie from Fox Harbor also went down that day, with 7 hardy fishermen, no more to plow the sea. And all of them being married men, which made the loss run high. Except for one, the skipper's son, he was a single boy. There's 6 young widows left to mourn, I know them all quite well. with children small, no help at all to bear their troubles well. If God himself will lend a hand, look down on them, I hope, leaving widows and orphans for to mourn. It was an awful stroke.
That's William Wilson's The August Gale, everyone. My goodness, we're fast running out of time, but I'd like to, before we do, get to... This is really fun, The Great Lobster Boil by Lem Snow. Speak to us about this.
Well, Lem Snow was a man who lived on the West Coast. He worked in Howley, he worked in the woods, and he worked with the hydro station there in Deer Lake. You know that beautiful building just as you're driving down the highway in Deer Lake?
See it on the plane coming into to land at the airport.
Yeah. It's a lovely building. It sort of harkens back to that one in Toronto that's down by the beaches. You know, it's one of those from that period, I think.
Right.
Beautiful little building. And Lem used to write comical songs and recitations, and Jim Payne does a lot of his. I particularly like this one. I like the idea, you know, of a song that... that makes people laugh, and this is certainly well put together, and it's just so comical. And about, you can just picture all of the stuff that's going on as they're cooking the lobsters, and everybody that's coming to get all the lobsters. And it's just a funny song, just for a bit of fun.
For lobster lovers everywhere, here is The Great Lobster Boil.
Also, we did it in the form of a session, you know, like when you're having a music session. And there's been tunes, and then all of a sudden someone calls for a song. And something like that might be sung, you know, something comical, something when everyone's having a great time and laughing and drinking and so forth. It's the kind of song you might hear.
Here it is.
There's young folks in Horry involved in my story, the title of which is The Great Lobster Boil. This tale of great slaughter in boiling hot water of lobster that came from the Straits of Belle Isle. By car, truck and flipper en route from Trout River, the lobsters arrived here one evening in May. At a lakeside location near the Great Hydro Station, where all was made ready to boil them that day. Folks came from the high roads, they came from the by roads, they came with a smirk and they came with a smile. Young women with their ladies and women with babies all rushed to the scene of the great lobster boil. Lobster pots boiling, the freshly cooked lobsters we stacked in the pile. By sniffing and smelling, the fragrance compelling, folks came on parade to the great lobster boil. There were big ones and small ones, wide, fat, short and tall ones. One man had ne'er seen a lobster before. He thought they were pliers, all tied up with wires, as used by the lines. Tellers and nurses with handbags and purses, all daintily dressed, as you well may suppose. With flashy regalia and paraphernalia, including white tissues for wiping their nose. They were sucking and slurping like little birds chirping. The last tasty morsel was well worth the while. While paste from those creatures bespattered their features, none gave a hoot at the great loves and boys. There came an old codger, an out-of-town lodger. He said, all my life I've been tilling the soil. I've never been fishing, but long I've been wishing to have a good meal at a great lobster boil. So he purchased a dozen, him and his cousin, and sat down nearby with a satisfied smile. While shells were a-cracking, their lips were a-smacking, enjoying the feast at the great lobster boil. There were babies a-crying and lobster shells flying as sham battles raged on the shell-livered soil. Bees battered and smelling, we still kept on selling the lobster we cooked at the great lobster boil. There were maidens and urchins and white-headed merchants all clamoring for a lobster, oh what a turmoil. When two pretty fillies got cramps in their bellies and ran for relief from the great lobster boil. So this ends my story of work, fun and glory, the title of which is The Great Lobster Boil. This tale of great slaughter in boiling hot water of lobsters that came from the Straits of Belle Isle.
Days and blights to the towns and cities of Atlantic Canada. You're listening to Ron Moore, South Atlantic.
That's The Great Lobster Boil, and now we're down to our last track, and it's a classic track sung by individuals and groups all over Canada, I'm sure. Speak to us about the Cliffs of Baccalieu.
I love this song. To me, it's extremely evocative. And although the writer of the song had never been in this position himself, his imagination carried him there. It was written for a radio program called the Irene B. Mellon in the 1930s. And again, Philip Hiscock, who was a folklorist at Memorial University, has done some extensive research on this song, if anybody's interested in following up on the story of it. Withers was one of the people who was involved in this radio show, and he wanted to tell this story. And the story is common enough for the people of the on the northeast and the east coast of Newfoundland, from Conception Bay, Trinity Bay. They would always go down to the Labrador in the summertime. They'd leave in the spring and they'd fish all summer. And some of them were called stationers. They had premises down there, and they'd dry their fish on the beaches, on the barns, and so forth. And some of them were called floaters, and they'd catch the fish and keep it in salt bulk in their schooners and then come back and dry it at home. Whatever it was, that was your whole income for the year. The fish that you caught down in the Labrador was your whole income. And he was talking about coming back from such a trip in Labrador with all your, you know, your whole income for the whole year is in the hold of that vessel, a sailing vessel. And the wind changes around, the weather changes around, and they find themselves drifting ashore, being blown ashore near the island of Baccalieu, which is at the head there of Conception Bay.
It's near and dear to my heart. I don't know, about 9 or 10 generations of my crowd settled in Northern Bay, and it's not far from Baccalieu, and this is just a gorgeous song. We'll spin it. We'll go out with this as our last track of the day. But just before I do, Anita, I want to thank you ever so much for taking a huge chunk of your time to do this, and it's always lovely to talk with you, even more so to talk about a new release that you have out. And that reminds me, I think you and I should hook up or overdue at Christmas time to share some of our favorite Christmas songs from Atlantic Canada, and if you can make the time, we'll do that.
Oh, yes, I'd love to do that. Ron, it's one of my favorite things to do, is pick out Christmas carols. I love Christmas songs.
Me too.
And I love the whole idea of singing at Christmas. Revelry and singing.
Yes, indeed.
That's me.
Well, we'll do it, and I wish you well on your tour. Have fun at the rest of the gigs.
Oh, thanks very much, Ron. It's such a pleasure to talk to you.
Great fun to catch up with you, Anita. We'll do it again soon.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
We were bound home in October from the shores of Labrador, trying to race a bold nor'easter and snow too, when the wind swept down upon us, making days dark as night. Just before we made the land at Barkaloo, well, we tried to clear the island as we brought her further south, but the wind stronger blue, and our lookout soon he shouted, for they're right dead ahead. Through the snow squalls loom the cliffs of Baccalaureate, and it was hard down with the tiller as we struggled with the sheets, trying our best to haul them in a foot or two. With our decks so sharply tilted, we could scarcely keep our feet as we struggled on the rocks at Baccalaureate. The combers beat her under, and I thought she'd never rise, and her main boom was bending nigh in tune. And on hands come to windward as they stared with strain. Yes, we hauled her to the southern, and her canvas stood the strain, and the blinding snow squalls from the northeast flew. But our hearts were beaten gladly when no longer could. Baccalaureate.
Hi, this is Kim Stockwood, and you're listening to Sound Atlantic with the lovely Ron Moores.
Down to my soul like it's always been.
Well, that's the conclusion of our third Sounds Atlantic podcast here, folks. Hope you've enjoyed our interview with Anita Best and our track-by-track review of her new album that she's produced with her good friend Sandy Morris, and it's titled Some Songs. Do tune in next week when Newfoundland country singer, country folk singer, Sherry Ryan will be here to visit and talk about her new release. I'm your host, Ron Moores, urging you to keep on the sunny side. Thanks for lending us your ears. And I might mention that this podcast is also rebroadcast on VOBB Radio, the voice of Bond Bay in Norris Point, Newfoundland and Labrador, and is linked also to CKCFM in Ottawa. If you have any comments, I'd be delighted if you would send them to either Facebook or to my website at www.ronmoores.com or via email at ron@ronmoores.com. And until then, I'm your host, Ron Moores, hoping you'll keep on the sunny side. Thanks so much for listening. See you back here next week.